meeting of the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board. Irene, would you take the roll?
I'm sorry, we do the pledge first?
Oh, yes, we do, don't we? But we don't do that in December, I don't think, right? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry about that. Now we can take the roll.
It's twice this year.
Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mrs. Lucas.
Here.
Mr. Dolney.
Here.
Mr. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Scully.
Here.
Mr. Davis, Mr. Lanhertz, and Mr. Freeman are excused, and we have a quorum.
Thank you. First order of business is the approval of the minutes from our meeting of Wednesday, November the 15th. Does any member have any additions or changes for the minutes?
I would move their approval.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Second order of business is a resolution approving an update of the third amended restated Palm Coast Park DRI.
Mr. Chairman, this is an item that is related to one we had a couple months ago that I had to declare a conflict on, so I will be doing likewise tonight.
Okay. Thank you. You've submitted the
I did. I gave it to Irene.
Excellent. Mr. Tyner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a will be a resolution for City Council for an update to what we call commonly called as Map H, but I forget the name of this map, as part of the DRI, to amend a figure, basically, in the development of regional impact. And for those of you, what a DRI is, just for the board's sake, a DRI is what we call development of regional impact. And Palm Coast Park, the property on US 1, is what we call is a DRI. Actually, Town Center, where we're sitting now, is a good example of what a development of regional impact is. And because they call it a, you know, the title of a DRI, Development of Regional Impact, I mean, it's such a large development with the number of residential units, the number of commercial units, that it has potential impacts region-wide. So part of that Development of Regional Impact approval process is not just the City Council who approves the final development order for the DRI, but also it was reviewed by the St. Johns River Water Management District, Florida Fish and Wildlife, the Army Corps of Engineers, the Department of Environmental Protection, the Department of Transportation, the Northeast Regional Planning Council, and there's probably some others, and also our surrounding St. Johns County takes a look at it, Flagler County takes a look at it, the Division of Historical Resources. So the DRI, such as Palm Coast Park, is typically a 3 or 4 year process of going through that review process. And the DRIs are typically a long range plan. They are granted certain entitlements, and they do have entitlements. And it's a 30-year plan, so things change, such as tonight that Mr. Hoover is going to present on several of the tracks. There have been some more analysis of wetlands and where the uplands are, and we have a little bit more detail. And you're going to see this throughout the years with the development of regional impact with this DRI property. As development starts to occur, they're going to be on the ground a little bit more. Wetland lines are going to change, upland lines are going to change, and those type of things. What this action is tonight is a figure that's part of the DRI. We analyzed it. It's a very minor change. It's actually a positive change in our eyes, the city's eyes. It does not change entitlements. It does not increase development activity. It's basically identifying a change in the uplands and a change in the wetlands and where there could be kind of a borrow pit. It's very typical on development property to have borrow pit. They could use to fill for their property or use fill on site. And with the DRI, they allocated certain areas within the property to be utilized for fill, for a borrow pit. So basically what we're doing tonight is updating that map, because the areas where they allowed the fill, the borrow pit to be, is more environmentally sensitive. So those went away, and then the one that is the most likely one, the one that's upland, that's near Hall Road, the one that makes most sense to have the borrow pit is where we're proposing it to be. So with that, and also Clint Smith is the developer, so he is able to speak on behalf of the development. Also, there's questions, kind of odd that he's sitting up here, but typically he would be down there, but he accused himself, and he is the developer rep. But with that, Mr. Hoover is going to do the presentation.
Good evening. Plump Coast Park, it's a 4,677-acre DRI located on the west of I-95 and mostly along US 1 between Palm Coast Parkway and just north of Old Kings Road. It's a mixed-use MPD, and two new owners in the area north of the Palm Coast Industrial Park, which is located off of Hargrove Grade. They just purchased some land north of that, actually a pretty large section. And you can see it tracks one, which is just north of the industrial park, tracks two and tracks three. And these are two different LLCs, but actually they're coordinated and are basically like sister LLCs. And on August 4th, they purchased those properties. And since then, they've had their environmentalists out there doing wetland jurisdictional work with the Army Corps and the Planning District and Water Management District. And so they determined actually the wetlands are a little larger than what they thought. So that makes those, and this is the Exhibit B, the only exhibit in the whole DRI that's getting changed, and we're only changing the part for tracks 1, 2, and 3, and actually I think it's like 677 acres, so the rest of the DRI is like 4,000 acres. So you can see the little tan areas on tracks 1, 2, and 3, and then there's some other ones like up in here off of Belterre area. And so that's where the fill pits were allowed based on this exhibit. And so there, the tan areas are still remaining. We've added a footnote under the legend, and that would be right here. And essentially it would say that the fill pit activities would not be allowed on tracks 1, 2, and 3 within these called upland preservation areas. So instead, we're showing the new fill pit area, and the new exhibit won't have this new location of fill pit on there, but it'll basically, that's a residential area, so it would give them the option, they can just do residential, they can do residential with a fill pit, or they can just do a fill pit and not do residential on there.
A fill pit becomes a pond, right?
What's that?
A fill pit becomes a pond.
Yes, and if you look on tracks 1 and 2, there's actually already a couple fill sites that were developed there.
At 12 and 15?
Yeah, actually, they're right down here.
Yeah.
So they're actually, those things are probably 10 or 15, 20 acres. So the fill may actually end up being just moved up to tracks 1, 2, and 3. It gives them the option that they could take it off site.
So basically, if I just may, I like using this anyway, where they were going to fill before in this area, they're not going to do any filling within this area, and it moves to this location here, which is good access. You don't have to go into a wetland. You got a haul road already existing if they're going to take it off-site, so it's staff's support of it.
Essentially what happened was the actual upland preservation areas, there ended up being more wetlands between them and the residential areas, so the haul road would have to go through a lot of wetlands, so then you got wetland permitting, a lot of environmental damage that they got to mitigate for. And so I don't know if it really worked, but this is a much, much better environmentally. So planning staff has to review each project that comes through for four key criteria from section 2.0505 of the Land Development Code. Each proposed project, in this case it would just be the changes, must meet these criteria. It must be not in conflict with the public interest. It must be consistent with both the Land Development Code and the Comprehensive Plan. It must not impose a significant hardship or liability on the city, must not create an unreasonable hazard or nuisance, and it must comply with all applicable government regulations and standards. And staff addressed these review criteria very thoroughly in the staff report, and essentially the changes will not increase any DRI entitlements or create a nuisance hazard or any land compatibility issues. These soil extraction areas are already permitted in the DRI and they're just being relocated due to wetland impact basis, and the changes would still meet the LDC and comp plan. To encourage public participation, three signs were posted along the west side of US 1 next to the site, and the applicant notified neighbors within 300 feet of the neighborhood information meeting by US mail. The neighborhood information meeting was held at the public library at Belterre in Palm Coast Parkway on December 14th at 5:15. No one from the public showed up. Planning staff recommends that the planning board find this amendment in compliance with the LDC and comprehensive plan, and recommend City Council approve the update to the third amended and restated Palm Coast Park DRI development order application number 3453. And we're open to any questions you may have on the change.
Does the applicant have a presentation?
No.
Okay. Would you go back to the chart that you had up first? That one right there. The white or buff color or whatever color it is, beige maybe, this spot right here, is the borrow pit that is being moved to the yellow hatched area. Is that right?
Yes, this one is updated. So actually, on this new graphic, there's actually upland preservation areas, which surprised the environmentalists based on previous studies. So actually, there's two allowable burrow pits on track three, but we are making an exception because we're allowing it in the other area to make sure that we weren't increasing the entitlements. The applicant has agreed to not do it anyplace else, just in this one area.
So the applicant has agreed not to use the space that's allocated right now on tracks one and two as a borrow pit.
Right. And additionally, the tan areas on track three, which are right here, yeah, the applicant would not be using those either.
So why aren't those four or three? Why isn't the... why isn't the map being changed? Why are those remaining there?
Because the ones that are labeled 10, 5, and 4, they can be used for mitigation areas, upland creation. When the developer comes in, potentially, if there are going to be some wetland impacts, they'll be able to use those potentially If the district allows it, if there's going to be wetland impacts for creation.
To me that we're increasing the amount of borrow pits they're allowed to use.
No, for four.
Let's go back to the previous one.
Yeah, this is what's existing now. And you can see that number 2 and number 11, and then there's another little one. There's three little borrow pit areas that were able to be borrow pitted. And then you can see, you know, there's some yellow here, and the borrow pit upland areas were here. Now, if you go, it probably would be helpful if we had these on the same slide. But if you go real quick to the next slide, you could see how it changed, where there's more wetlands and there's some upland areas that previously were not considered uplands in the previously mapped. So basically what they're doing is, if you go back one slide, instead of doing borrow pit activities within this area, next slide, they're just going to do it right in this area. So this goes away, and this is where they're going to do it.
Yeah, but on the chart you just showed that it doesn't go away. It's still there.
No, it says upland preservation. These areas here, all this tan color, including these, they can either be used for borrow pit soil extraction, except for tracks 1, 2, and 3, which is 1, 2, and 3. You can't do borrow pit activities, but you could still do wetland creation enhancement activities.
I see. Okay.
We didn't want to eliminate that from them. I mean, they should be able to enhance it if they wanted to.
Sybil, do you have anything further? Any questions?
Yes, I did, actually. I was wondering why there was no response to your outreach efforts.
There's probably not a house within 2 miles of the site. In fact, it might even be 3 miles. So it's just very rural out there. The only person that...
Addresses that were direct mailed are where?
Well, those are big parcel owners. So if you see where track 3 is, you could see those people across the street. And then, like, west of the railroad, there's a big, huge property owner. I forget the name of it. And so the people that own those big tracks, most of them are already in the DRI, and they understood that what's going on here, and they don't really care.
There aren't any residential areas within the area of required notification. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So there are no
homeowners? Yeah, not even close.
Just the big landowners who were notified, and they didn't care.
Does any of this activity, given that it's in the wetlands, does any of this activity contribute to sinkholes?
No, ma'am. Our geology here in Northeast Florida, we don't have what we call karst geologic formations, which is typical, like in your central Florida, which is lime rock. And it's lime rock could get really weathered, like, you know, if you see like sinkholes in central Florida, that's what happened. The water erodes the limestone. Here, we don't have limestone until you're a good 300-400 feet down. And even that limestone is not so much karst. So we just don't have the geologic features in our region to have sinkholes. And Sybil, I just want to be clear too. The reason we're moving this over here too is they're trying to avoid the wetlands, because that area is all upland area where they would do the pit.
All right, Jake, you have a question?
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, Sybil. You good?
I'm good.
Jake?
No questions.
Chris?
No.
Nor do I. So let's bring it back to the board for a vote or a discussion.
I move to approve agenda item.
Second?
Second.
Ms. Schaefer, would you call the roll?
Yes. Mrs. Lucas?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Scully?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Well, let's put Clint back to work.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bill, have a good Thanksgiving.
Come on our agenda.
I'm Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
All right, Christmas. I'll see you later.
Too much medication?
I'll see you later.
Okay. Next item on our agenda is to rezone 40 Colchester Lane from MFR1 to SFR1. Mr. Tyner?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, this is another one of those rezonings that you have seen several times. This is not in the Matanzas area neighborhood. This is actually off of Colchester Lane near Long's Creek. It is a piece of property that was zoned multifamily, and it has some good history behind why it was zoned multifamily. And I'll probably get to that, and I might interrupt Irene a little bit because I know some of the history. Rita, I'm sorry. I know a little bit of the history by it, but basically what we're doing is the applicant had the owner of the property agreed that we could city initiate a rezoning from a multifamily to single-family residential, which is more characteristic of the surrounding neighborhood. But Ida, go ahead.
So good evening. This is application 3449 40 Colchester Lane. It is a rezoning request done in cooperation with the city. Just in terms of location, it's at the entrance of the Nature Preserve. It's the residential property to the west. It's on Colchester Lane north of Palm Harbor Parkway. The owner is Nervue IRA, or also known as John Morris. This is an aerial of the property, and here on the aerial you can see clearer the nature preserve that is behind the subject tract. And there's actually a pedestrian easement to the nature preserve on the subject tract. So it's very uniquely situated in terms of its location. The future land use is, of course, residential. Multifamily zoning would still have residential future land use. This shows and depicts the zoning. It's multifamily one. The tract is 0.41 acres, and it is vacant. This is how the zoning map would look should the proposed zoning be approved. It would be residentially zoned, similarly situated to the surrounding residential lots. This is just a brief comparison of the development standards between single family residential one and multifamily one. The big difference is the height. The owner of the property actually came in and met with us, and his original intention was to do townhomes and based on height, to do the garages under the townhomes. So that would have a dramatically different build out as compared to single family residential. Staff reviewed the request in terms of our criteria, and we're very supportive of this and very pleased with this opportunity to work with the property owner. The proposed single family residential, we believe, of course, is more compatible with the surrounding neighborhood and preferable to multifamily adjacent to a nature preserve. It is consistent with the land development code and the comprehensive plan because it avoids the intrusion of potentially intrusive land use should townhomes develop on the site. The infrastructure is there. It is an infill piece. And it will not unreasonably create a hazard or a nuisance and is consistent with the residential flume. The proposed development must, of course, comply with all our requirements and will, when it's developed, we will review for that. So staff is recommending that the planning board find the request consistent with our land development code and comprehensive plan and recommend to the council approval of application 3449, the rezoning of 40 Colchester Lane from multifamily one to single family residential one. We did hold a community meeting and here at City Hall and notified approximately 80 families, and no one attended that community meeting. The next step, should this be recommended by the planning board, would be City Council on January 16th and second reading on February 6th. That concludes my presentation if you have questions.
I have one. I was trying to figure out how it became multifamily, but it looks like it was part of a bigger piece that got carved off and made Long's Landing or whatever.
Yeah, so if you could go back to that slide. I was going to interrupt, but I didn't, but I will now, I guess. keep going back. Right there. Let's do that one. Everyone knows where we are. Palm Harbor Parkway. This is Long Landing. This is the... this area right here is the city-owned property, a park, okay? We have a canoe launch that's out over here, and we acquired this property. At one point, this property, I'm going to draw it like this. This was all one piece of property, okay? And it was all zoned multifamily. The city actually had a plan that was in-house that had multifamily condominium plans for this area. So we actually, our city council and the help with Environmental Sensitive Land Program and the state, we ended up acquiring all of this property with the exception of this property here. And so the city, of course, we initiated our rezoning to rezone this conservation, portions of it conservation and parks and greenways. This was a piece that the owner had retained for that piece. The city, we actually do have a little pathway here adjacent to that that gets people to our park where people in this neighborhood can enjoy and come down for that path. So the owner of the property, as I did, you know, working with the owner, and, you know, he was going to go up, you know, 50 feet in the air and do this parking underneath. And we're just like, hey, we would really like it if you could try to do single family. We'll do a city initiated and bring this to planning board and city council. We think it's more appropriate for the surrounding area. So we're really glad that he's, you know, did that. So, you know, he may be able to get maybe two houses, but it's better than a 50-foot condo in the middle of a, you know, if he was able to do it, or three-story or whatever he was going to try to do. So that's the history behind it. And, you know, if we can rezone it to single family, that'd be great.
What's the width of that, less the easement there? I mean, it looks like.
I think it's 15 feet. Let's see.
No, not the width of the easement, the width of the lot less the walkway easement.
It's, I want to say the lot is 120 feet and the pedestrian easement is 15, so he can create two 50-foot lot widths, but not, probably not 60.
Do one flag. You do one lot and then one flag lot. Is that what you're thinking?
He actually is considering doing two lots facing the pedestrian easement, using that as his front.
Something like that, hasn't he? With the front this way, like that, right? So the back rear of the boat properties would be on the
canal.
On the canal
access.
It's a little different than what's there, you know, because all of these are the front, except for this subdivision is odd, where you have a driveway coming through here, and you've got a house here, and a lot here for a future house. So.
Okay, Sybil, questions? No?
No, thank you.
Sir?
No, sir.
Okay.
None.
I have one. Why are we doing SFR1 and not SFR2?
Because of the lot width.
But everything else in that neighborhood is either SFR2 or 3.
Right. Because of the pedestrian access easement, he does lose 15 feet. So the lots would be slightly smaller than SFR2 minimum.
But that's not compatible with the surrounding area. The surrounding area is all SFR2 and 3.
Well, arguably, I mean, it's more compatible than townhomes.
Yeah, what we're trying to do, Mr. Jones, is try to get it to single family. We'd much rather have maybe if he can fit two single family homes there on a 50 instead of a 60-foot lot, and he does have the easement coming through. We'd rather see that than try to see a three-story.
What's the minimum
condo that he already has?
60 feet.
60.
Yeah.
And this is 50 feet? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Is that far
one? 60 feet wide?
He's probably going to need 250s.
252s or.
But it's not 120 feet. There's only less than 120 feet.
You know what his depth
is? You have that. You want to bring up that? I just got something.
The parcel.
She could probably bring up.
What's he want for?
It's 120 feet. Although, and that includes the 15-foot easement, right? Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's okay. That'll count, right?
Right.
So why can't it be SFR1? SFR2, I mean.
It doesn't have the...
Huh?
The 120 needs to be 60, and the way these are orientated, they're going to be orientated towards the canal. Not the other way.
I mean, this is a concept. It's not, he hasn't submitted this, but he was exploring his possibilities.
Yeah, I understand that, but the property is 120 feet wide. So there's no reason why it can't be two SFR2 lots.
Well, I think the issue with the 120 feet is that one lot would have the 15-foot easement on it and would be disproportionately affected by it. I think he's trying to treat these two lots equally. I think he's trying to give them equal access to the canal and have them equally treated in terms of the pedestrian access easement. But like I said, this is just a concept.
How would they access the back lot?
An easement across.
It wouldn't be a back lot. It'd be one building there and one building there.
Yeah, but the building here, one building here.
Right.
Building, the top one is building one and the bottom's building two. Access to building two would be over the shared driveway. Kind of like when you cross over that little canal.
Clubhouse.
Yeah.
Going down Clubhouse with the two houses, you typically have a shared drive.
Gotcha.
Well, Mr. Tyner, I'll let you guys deal with the neighbors when they find out that this is zoned differently than every other lot in the
area. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, ideal, like Ida said, ideally, yeah, SFR2 to everybody else is SFR2. That's something that we would like, but not knowing the details and the constraints of the land, if he can get two units, we just thought, Mr. Chairman, that going for multifamily that's already zoned multifamily and downzoning it to single family would be more advantageous for the neighbors.
18,000 square feet.
All right. I guess we need a motion.
I move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Ms. Schaefer, you want to call the roll?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas?
Yes.
Mr. Dolmy?
Yes.
Mr. Scully?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
No? The motion carries.
Very well. Thank you, folks. We have a some comments from the planning board, planning department. Mr. Tyner?
Sure.
Mr. Jones? I just wanted to mention, for the record, you should open it to the public.
Okay.
We did.
Public has anything to say, please come forward.
One
Seeing no
time.
One come forward, we'll close the public portion of the meeting.
Thank you.
I don't want to take a whole lot of your time, but I thought it would be good to maybe share with you about our community development department. We have specific goals and objectives that we try to accomplish throughout the year. And as far as our community development department, which I'm part of. I'm the planning manager for the planning division, and you probably just know of the planning division. That's who you deal with mostly. We also have code enforcement. Barbara Grossman is our code enforcement manager, and Carl Cote is our construction management manager, and what they do is they deal with capital projects and that type of thing. So that kind of makes up most of our division. Of course, we have the building department. Our building official, Ricky Lee, deals with the Florida Building Code and with new construction. But I'm going to start emailing you all our quarterly reports that we provide to the city manager. We do that every quarter just to show our different project, what's going on in the city. Just to give you some more information about the city, I think it'd be great. You can see more of a bigger picture about the city. This is our, kind of executive summary. I'm not going to read it. After this meeting tomorrow, Irene will send it to you. But kind of the format of it is we do an executive summary. This is our fourth quarter report, so you're going to have a lot more information. There's stuff in there from quarter one, two, and three. But, we have a little bit about community development, about what happened with the hurricanes. And then we have different highlights of development orders that we issued. A lot of those you may be familiar with. Some of them are smaller projects you won't be familiar with. But a lot of them, it'll show you the development activity throughout the year. And it is really amazing to see, when you go back in one year and you go, wow, IHOP, you know, the tattoo studio. Y'all did a special exception for, you know, the Dunkin' Donuts, racetrack, all these different projects. So that's kind of the format of it. we also have our different goals and it has some great graphics too. You can see these are the number of development order applications. These are for new commercial, retail, office, commercial projects, and you can see the increase from 2015, 2016, and 17. The trend is just going up and up. Same thing with residential plan reviews. We're up this year from last year. Number of permits issued, total number of permits. You can see the numbers there. I mean, definitely up on the up. Number of single-family permits issued. We, you know, got some more support in that division, seeing that it was going to happen. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of activity. So basically it shows you some of our revenues, swell and drainage work, a lot of different graphs, complaints generated from code, you know, even. That's a lot, 16,000 complaints a year.
Those two year on year are.
They are.
Kind of amazing, isn't it?
It hasn't really changed much.
Number of code cases.
Actually, they went down.
Yeah. Animal licensing, you know, so you got a lot of good information. And, of course, we put, you know, planning, we do our, you know, our renderings and a little bit about the project. That was approved. Y'all remember this one, the Matanzas, the MPD that we did. Y'all remember the Moonrise Brewery special exception when they came in here?
They just got their occupancy.
Is construction going on there? I didn't see anything going on there.
Yeah, they're inside. They just got their license today.
Occupancy.
So
did they?
Yeah, they should be opening real soon.
Did a good job. Must have moved it in at night.
And their discount tire. You remember y'all just recently did that for the betterment plan, for the landscape plan. So it talks a little about some things y'all might not know. We had interns this year for our division and a little bit about them. Our CDBG program that Jose does. Talked a little bit about our rezonings that we did. The Matanzas area, and then it's cool because building, you know, the plans that y'all, you know, recommend approval or approve, building also takes pictures of it, you know, during construction, and reports on that, and y'all didn't really see this specifically because it was too small, the Starbucks at Island Walk, but y'all approved the you know, the Island Walk MPD. And then our community center. So there's a lot of, and y'all remember this, Watercress. Y'all did the memory care. So, and Aldi, supermarket. And that was the old Florida Power FPL. So, and that turned out really nice, the Starbucks off of Belterre.
I'm sorry, Ray, you said you're going to send us this?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we'll go ahead and send you this, and I just wanted to let you know it's a good report.
Yes, it is. And then you're going to send it to us quarterly?
I'm going to send you it quarterly.
Okay.
And I do want to show you one other thing, because it involves you.
It involves nothing.
I'm also part of a team. And I've been, our city manager really promotes teams. And at one point, I was the leader of the infrastructure team for many, several years. And now Carl, when we created the construction management division, it made a whole lot of sense that Carl would be, you know, kind of the leader of that infrastructure team since we created a new division for that. But I head up that team for 4 or 5 years. And then I told basically our city manager I'd like to retire from that team. It was a great experience for me, you know, working with capital projects and the budgeting of all the capital projects and with the team. And I said, hey, one thing I want to do is I'd like to create a team that is dealing with development from beginning to the end. And I want the empowerment to try to make improvements to our development review process from beginning to end. So, great, let's form this team. So we did, and I wanted to share with you some of the things that we're doing from a development standpoint. One of the things that the team did that we implemented this year was for our building department, we completed the electronic permitting process. What that means is you can sit at your house as a resident, okay, and you don't even have to come into City Hall. You can pay online and you can do your permitting online. We currently, this was fourth quarter, had 640 registered as of the fourth quarter, and that was the end of October. We have well over, that number continues to increase. I know we have over 45,000 permits that have already been issued that have been created online. It just continues. So even big contractors who are, you know, submitting their building plans. Seagate Homes was one of our local businesses that, when we were creating this, worked with us as we were trying to improve the system. Yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, you got HVAC change-outs been number one, roofing, fences, single-family homes. You don't even have to leave your house. And it's been so successful. It has created, not only saves time and money for the development community, but also saves time for us. I mean, you can think about, you know, a permit coming in paper, and then taking it, you have to fill everything out manually and then scan it into the system and distribute. You don't have to do that anymore. You cut so many different steps, and it's been great. Our next phase is for our development order applications, my division for planning. We've been going electronic now for probably 6 years, okay? We weren't going to wait for this system. We went ahead and did it. It's a little bit different ball game than building, so we deal with the Clint Smiths of the world, the engineers that are out there. They'll give us CDs, they'll bring a CD in, or they PDF it to us, and we, you know, have been doing it electronically. But we're going to do the same thing. We're going to use this same module as a tool. You can still do it the same way that other people's if they're comfortable, but this is going to be another option to be able to do it online, and hopefully it's going to be a lot easier than doing a CD. And you can pay online and you know, do everything online. So we are second quarter of this year, we're going to begin testing for that module for the development review for planning. So that moves forward as well. Clint can tell you through his experience that we've had issues with final plats in the platting process, which is the subdivision of land. It's a very complicated process. My team, we are going to try to improve that process, bring the stakeholders in, and do what we can to make that process. We're making some gains on that. And the thing is, we're making gain not as fast as I would like, because development activity is continuing. So when we can, we're really trying to make these improvements. Irene has a task, and what I typically do is assign project managers that will take it and run with it with the team. Irene is improving the PLDRB agenda process. Some of the things that she has done, she is implementing standards for ordinances, because sometimes we run into glitches where, not glitches, but a planner may grab this old ordinance. We like to have it standardized, so now we're making comments on something that we didn't need to. Let's standardize. Let's get our attorney involved so everything that we submit, we know it's going to be good and it's going to save time. So standardizing some of our applications, one of the things that Irene has done too is if we have a development order, Mr. Jones, sometimes you will sign during the meeting. We didn't have that capability before. Typically what would happen is after y'all would approve an item, we go back, and then Thursday, you're calling a developer to come back and sign this, and then maybe it takes Friday, and then now you have the weekend, and then it's a week delayed. Now I'm calling you at your house, or Irene's calling you, hey, can you come to City Hall and now sign this development order? So we're trying to make things efficient, little things like that that Irene has been trying to put together. And so these are some of our measures that we did. And and we'll send you this too, since it is development related, for how our P3 team is doing. And where's yours, Irene?
Further down under There it is. So
evaluate and implement changes to improve PLDRB. And we had changed that continued. It's not 100%. So
We have phase three
of continuing. So Irene's going to talk to you just for a few minutes.
Just real briefly, what we're trying to do, we completed the first phase. Actually, I said phase three. It's phase two. And the second part of the phase is to look at the paper and the time, the paper we generate, mostly with the agendas, and the time it takes and the money it takes to do that. So what we're looking at is using iPads that would be provided to you for specific use for the agenda. They would be issued to you as long as you're a member of the board. It would be limited in that it just would have agenda software on it, and like the highlighting that Ray was doing with iAnnotate.
It made no sense to me for several months. Anyway, I use my iPad now to do that. Now, when you send me a letter on Friday and say the books are ready, I'm not traveling all the way to City Hall to pick up my book.
Right.
I'll just pop up the agenda and read through it. Now, the disconnect for that is if I see something I want to question, I have no document to annotate.
Which,
if you provided me with a PDF that's annotatable, would be great.
What we've been talking to IT, and this will be finalized for you, is that if we give you the software and then it's licensed in your name as opposed to your position on the board, which would be easier for IT because we could then take that license and just, it goes with that computer, so your term is up and
I don't want it in my name anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is giving you a standalone unit that would allow you to do that.
That'd be great. It would have
annotation software on it.
Yeah.
You can make your notes.
And if you're at home and you have Wi-Fi at home, I mean, when your agenda is ready, you press on it and it pops up.
It's a great idea. So I've already worked with IT with Ray, and they just needed the go-ahead to go ahead and provide those. If you're all amenable to this, what we would do is, if we're ready and the equipment's ready, we'd probably meet a few minutes, depending on the need, before the next meeting, and we'd go through some training and show you how to work them.
Yeah.
And then
make sure everybody's here to be trained.
Right.
Yeah.
Some of us, I know, are a little shaky technically. Nobody necessarily here right now.
Well, I would go through the training too. So as you had questions about this, the unit or something wasn't right, I could also help you and be your front line of support. Then if I can't resolve it, I can work with IT.
Yeah.
But
that's the idea, and we want to make sure how you felt about
that. That would save a tremendous amount of time, and not only of,
paper.
Of us, but so whoever does the Xeroxing and puts the books together, that must take forever.
Can.
Gotten kind of fast at it, but every once in a while when a map doesn't fit, it's really fun. So thank you.
Is everyone okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
No brainer.
Cool. And then some other things, Irene will call y'all. And anytime you want to talk to me or Irene, we're looking at to improve the PLDRB process. Mr. Scully at the last meeting, I thought, gave a really good suggestion. And so our team's going to be looking at that. And if you remember, you were talking about the timeline, where we are, like if we had it on a PowerPoint or an agenda, where we are in the process.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and kind of in my mind, what I was thinking was a kind of a chart that shows, you know, comp plan green, that's like green, done, zoning, done. This is site plan, then plat.
Jake is right, because people get confused about, well, when am I going to see this? You're not seeing it here. You're going to see that over here.
They don't know when to yell at us.
Yes.
Right.
It's just not good.
Right, right. So I think, but things like that, I mean, is something that we take. And RP3 team and with Irene, we'll brainstorm it. What's the best way to capture this? It's going to be on the PowerPoint presentation. We're going to do a part of the staff report. You know, if there's things that you're looking at as part of the staff report, I mean, there's certain things that we have to have in there to put on the record, like all the criteria you see. There's pages and pages and details of it. But any formatting that you see that you think could be clearer or better, those type of suggestions we always welcome. And I've been talking about, I don't know how long, of looking at our agenda and seeing about how can we make it better. You know, if everything's electronic, it's maybe not that much of an issue anymore, but to be quite frank, I had an issue of having, I don't necessarily like having the future land use map attached as a separate attachment, or the zoning map, or the aerial map. Kind of what I picture in my mind was one document that embeds the you know, as you're reading it, kind of like a story, hey, this is where the project is located, here's the map.
Yeah, you can do that.
Blah, blah. You know what I mean? I've been kind of warning that.
I just thought of another thought. On those iPads, you should have a copy of the LDC.
The comp plan.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah. And it's great because I was, you know, sometimes I'm lazy and I'll grab that. But, yeah, we'll get the Muni code, you know, get that link to you so you can go right on. Unicode's really easy to search, and once you get used to it, to get that on there.
Yeah, I'm thinking of it. That's exactly what happened to me with that little SFR1, SFR2. I went to the LDC to look up the...
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, because one of the things was the original agenda said the minimum square footage lot was 5,000 square feet. And I said, that's not right. Yeah. And I went to the LDC, and sure enough, it's 6,000.
Right.
But the final version you presented tonight.
Now, did you
corrected.
Now did you go? Did you download it, or are you going on MuniCode?
Site and got the LDC from the city site.
So you have it as a PDF all the way.
It's on the city's website.
Oh, so you got the quick link to it.
That's the best way to get it. I mean,
the
paper copy that I got from you guys 4 years ago. What's the value of that?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even think I have
everyone should have that on there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But if you could go to a central place and pull up is a current copy of it.
Yep. I think it's great. Very good. Anything else?
Sounds like we're actually getting into the 21st century.
Yeah. That's great. I'm glad. It'll make our lives a lot easier, and I think your lives a lot easier, too. And so maybe we'll try to... We'll get in contact, and maybe our January meeting, we can start the training and have them ready.
Great.
Then.
And you're going to send us this stuff so we have some reading over the holidays.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll send it to you tomorrow.
I'll send that.
Thank you.
It's really good information. I mean, all of y'all get the week in review, right? Email to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope we all do. Does everyone get it?
I do.
We can review every Friday afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Good.
Okay, good.
Although it's changed, it seems to have less information on it.
Yeah, they consolidated, they did some changes to it. Yeah. But I think this would enhance, and you can see some of the good things that are going on. And you know, y'all are, you know, as planning board members, you know, you're out there in the community, and you know, you should be, you know, even some of our capital projects, you know, this will give you, make you well-rounded and very knowledgeable. So, it'll help.
Good job.
Yep.
Okay, before we do a motion to adjourn, I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa. If I missed one, I'm sorry. But season's greetings to everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You too.
Now, I guess we could get entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Ho, ho, ho.